Hey, I love those old hymns and the new ones. Well, we got a special blessing for you this morning. We've got a man of God who's been used all over the world, and you know, he's in a lot of ways like Bob Jones. A lot of ways he's not. Also, but I run to people all over the world who say, you know, tell me about the impact that Graham Cook had on their life, and to help steer them. And we've had him here for this conference this weekend. We've really been blessed. Really glad to have him here, and we're going to have him here a lot more. But Graham, to give you as much time as possible, come on. This is Graham Cook. He talks funny, but if you pay attention, you can understand him.
Oh, yeah. That'll be me. Got your Bibles there, Ephesians 3:20. Says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all. Everyone say, beyond all.
Beyond all.
Okay, now say it in real English, beyond all.
Beyond all.
Okay, that was pretty close. Language of heaven right there. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think.
That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. According to the power that works within us. What is the limit of our current relationship with God or one another for that matter? What's the limit that we put on relationships? It's often the limit of our request. How many times have we asked things of one another and then we come to a place of silence because I can't ask him for that. I can't ask her for that. It's like you get to a limit in your relationship where you feel like it'd be too presumptuous. I don't know that our relationship could cover that. The limit of your relationship with anybody is the limit of your request. And it's our inability to ask that puts a ceiling on that relationship. But here God is saying, I want you to go beyond the place of asking. In fact, more than that, I want you to go beyond the place where you can no longer frame words for your desires. And if all you have in your heart is a groan, I promise you I will interpret it to my own satisfaction. It says, go from the place of asking. And often we ask with a sense of logic and reason. Well, I could ask for this, I could ask for that, and we have reasons why we can ask for something. And so when God tells you to go to a place of thinking, he's not telling you to go to a place of logic. God gave us two types of thinking of capacities. One is logic and reason. And the only time God speaks to your logic is when you've sinned. Then he says, come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But the rest of the time when he talks about thinking, he's not talking about what is logical. He's talking about your creative ability to think. That is your imagination. He gave you an imagination so that you could access him in the spirit through your thinking in a completely different way than logic commands. So when he says go to the place of thinking, he's saying go to the place of the biggest imagination that you could have. What is the biggest way you could think about this that's beyond logic? Go to that place. And then he says, and I'll take you beyond there. So what is it that's beyond the place of creative thinking and creative imagination? Well, that would be dreaming. Go to the place of dreaming. If you really want to understand the abundance of heaven that's suspended over your life, you need to go to a place of dreaming so that you can really catch up with the heart of God for you as an individual. explore with your thoughts. I love meditation. I spend 4 months of the year in meditation. I work 4 months a year. I hang out with my friends 4 months a year. And I meditate 4 months of the year, because hanging out with God is like the best, it's the closest thing to heaven I know here on earth. And I love loving God with my mind. I love it, and I'm in love with it. I love God with my thinking. I love sitting and thinking about God. I'll sit and think about God for 12, 15, 17, 18 hours a day. I love loving God with my heart, but I love loving God with my mind. And I love the way that God loves me with His mind. I love the way that God thinks about me. I love the way He articulates those thoughts. I love the way that His mind connects with my mind and takes my thinking to a whole different place. I love that whole process of thinking with God. Explore with your thoughts the things of God. Love God with your mind. Have fun thinking of God in desire form. I like desiring God with my mind, and I love acting that out through my heart. Go to the place of dreaming. In Psalm 126, it says this: when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. I'm living in a place of joy because I have really believed in the last year or so, I have begun to access God from a place of dreaming in my own life. There are things happening to me right now that I could never have imagined 12 months ago. There are suddenlies in my life right now that have come straight out of left field, straight out of a place of dreaming. There are things that God is saying to me right now that I have dreamt about but never ever thought that they would ever materialize in my life. You know, when Israel were in captivity 400 years, the cries of their heart went up to heaven and God heard them. He didn't just hear their cry for deliverance, because God doesn't hear the cry that's on the surface of your life. He hears the cry that's deep in your heart. And you think about Israel, well, in all of that captivity, in all of the grind of life, in all of the oppression, in all of the unremitting violence and degradation, slave mentality, that victim thinking, just the back-breaking task of staying alive and working like a dog 12, 14, 15 hours a day as a slave. God doesn't just hear the stuff that comes out of your heart about your current circumstances. He hears to a much deeper level in you. God hears the unspoken dreams that you can't even imagine. He goes to a deep place of communion with you in your pain. I know that for a fact. That's the depth of God's love. He goes to the place of pain and he processes it right down to a deep place. What is your unspoken dream? What is the thing that you could never ask of God? The thing that would really set you free as an individual. And what were Israel dreaming all those years in bondage? And you need to understand, what could their dream have been just on a day-to-day basis? My dream is, I'd like a day off. My dream is, I'd like not to see my daughter's bones through her skin because she's not getting enough food. My dream is, I wish I could go through a day without being whipped by an overseer because I'm moving too slow. My dream is, I wish I could sleep longer. I wish I could get to sleep. My dream is, I wish I could see my family in health. And my sons don't die. But what's God's dream at that point? Do you know what He's dreaming about? He's not dreaming about any of that. He's dreaming about giving you a house that you didn't build. He's dreaming about giving you a well that you didn't dig. He's dreaming about giving you vineyards that you never planted. You see the difference? We dream on levels that are associated with our pain, but He dreams dreams that are associated with your significance. What dreams does He have for you as an individual? We're not created just to be merely logical. We're not created just to have a great imagination. We are created to live from the place of our dreaming. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. The whole ability to dream came flooding back into our life. I believe in these days, you know, we are going to see the church rise up to be the most glorious entity on earth. And she is going to live from the place of dreaming. Now, women were created to dream, and guys were created to see that that dream would come true. Yeah? So, if we are going to see the bride of Christ emerge, we need to see a people who are in touch with the heart of the bridegroom. Because you are meant not only to live from a place of dreaming, but to understand that the place of dreaming is connected to the place of highest favor with God. What if most of His favor over your life is actually connected to your dream and not to your circumstances? What would that do for you? I'm starting to understand what it's like to live from the place of dreaming. And you know what it's done for me? It's taken me to a place of joy that I never thought I would ever experience. I've gone through 10 years of hell recently, and I have prospered in that. I haven't survived it. I have prospered in it. And I prospered in it because in it, God spoke to my dream. And He began to cause that dream to rise up in me. And when that dream, when He touched that unspoken dream in me, and when He shared His dream for me, and I realized they were connected, and I realized that His dream was bigger than my dream, but He was giving me permission, you can have my dream for you. That's what happens. That was the whole deal with Israel. Their dream was just to escape something, to survive something, to live under something. His dream was to give you a land and a nation, but beyond that, to give you a house that you never built. That you would drink cool, clear water instead of that stagnant stuff that you get in Egypt from a well you didn't dig, because most of them would be well diggers. I have dug a well out in Africa. It is the most horrendous type of job. I wanted to do it because I wanted to know what it felt like. I thought I was going to die. When you are 130 feet down in a hole in the ground, and the only thing between you and the earth above is a rope and a bunch of singing Africans. And all you have is a spade, and you fill a bucket, and you wait till it comes back down, and you think you're never going to get another breath. It is the most horrendous job. And then if the water comes out while you're there, you better pray they can haul you up pretty fast, because you're going to drown if they don't. I have dug a well. One was enough. One was enough. I give you a cold, clear drink of water from a well that you didn't have to dig. Oh my God. I give you vineyards you never had to plant. You could go into this house, sit down, pick up the remote, and flick on the TV. You can go and eat vegetables that you didn't have to till the ground. You can get a glass of water. Dream Oh my God, you see the difference? There is a dream in your heart that God will not be satisfied until you realize that dream that He has for you. And when your heart connects with the dream that He's got, there is a joy that's unspeakable. But it's glorious. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like, that was a dream. It's like, it was amazing. It was astonishing. And when you are connected to your dream, you can only ever talk about God in superlatives. What if the gospel is so good, it's too good to be true? What if it's so good, it borders on fantasy? What if the gospel is so astonishing and amazing? You have to go to a place of beyond thinking into dreaming in order to articulate what it's really, really like to be a Christian. I'm sat on a plane going from one place to another place. I don't know. It's steel tube in the air, 39,000 feet. Who gives a rip, honestly? And I'm sat next to a guy and I'm reading my Bible and he said, what's that you're reading? I said, oh, it's a cookbook. He said, no, it's not. It's a Bible. I said, dude, there's no getting anything past you, eh? And then he starts disparaging me because I'm reading a Bible. He said, you're one of those Christians, and he's really contemptuous. So I turned around to him and I said, you're not a Christian? What the hell's wrong with you? You're not a Christian? How can you live? It's like, do you have something defective in your brain? You're actually sat here telling me you're not a Christian? Oh my God. I've never met anyone like you. He's like really shocked. I'm thinking, yeah, right. Have a taste of your own stuff, pal. How can you live with yourself? You're not a Christian? Oh my God. You poor guy. Would you like to be one? Can I tell you why I'm a Christian? And you start talking about God in superlatives. He is the most amazing, brilliant person I know. He's the kindest person I know. He's astonishing. He's outrageous. He's funny. He's delightful. He is so huge in terms of His heart for me. I tell you, I can hardly stand to live through each day. The row of seats in front of you suddenly all tilt back. And you can see an ear sticking in between the seats, you know. You look behind you and the guy behind you has got his nose in the crowd and he's listening. I said, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh my gosh. Start to tell him what my story is. How God is with me. How much God is for me. How much God loves me. How in all of His thoughts, He has great thoughts about me. Ah, teaching a mess with me, eh? Really, beloved, what if we can only access the truly deep things of God by dreaming? What are the dreams in your life right now that maybe are unspoken? Maybe you've never even had the thought that you could dream. That God has a dream about you. Wouldn't you want to know what that is? What's the biggest thing you are capable of thinking in your imagination? Well, go beyond that place. Because God wants to connect your asking to your dreaming. So He wants to bring those two things together. That when your asking comes into alignment with your dreaming, then we can really see something happening. You're meant to live from a place of dreaming. God has dreams about you. He has thoughts about you. He can do far more abundantly beyond anything you could ask or even think. It is so critical that God's people dream today. That God is going to put us in touch with our dream and His dream, because you were made to do something outrageous. You were made to be outrageous. You were made not to be earthbound. Now, this is the year of your rising. If you could imagine yourself as a hot air balloon, now, everything that tethers you to the earth, everything that keeps you earthbound in your thinking has to be cut so that you can soar up into the heavens, so the Holy Spirit can get hold of you, so that He can put wind underneath you, so that you can start to soar in your mind and your heart into a different place of thinking, a different place of seeing, a different place of perceiving who God is for you, really. Because this isn't it. This is good, but the good is always the enemy of the best. There is something, a way better place to live from than the one that we're currently inhabiting, where we're so earthbound. And because we're so earthbound, we can't even ask for the things that we need to get out of the situation that we're in. There is a place in the Spirit set aside for you where you can access God at a high level and a deep level. You can understand the length and the breadth of everything that God has got for you. You can see afar off in your own life. Because God is present future. He's not present past. He's dealt with your past. He's not consumed by your past. He's consumed. He's obsessed by who you are becoming. He loves you now. He sees who you're going to be. And He loves that road. He loves that process. He loves that pathway to take you from your present into your future. To take you from a good present into a brilliant future. But that roadway is a roadway of dreaming. It's a roadway of deep imagination. It's a roadway of accessing God's heart in your thinking in a way that makes you see yourself differently than you've ever seen yourself before. People who know their God in that way, those are the ones that are going to be strong and do exploits. You must allow God to connect your thinking to His. You must allow Him to connect your wildest imagination to His dream. Because your wildest imagination is still nowhere near what His dream actually is for you. And we need people, we need champions right now. We need people who can rise up and occupy a place in the Spirit that is outrageous, that is beyond ordinary. You were created for a life less ordinary. You were created to be extraordinary, and Jesus deserves to be represented by someone that excellent. You know, all these great revivalists, I'm quite sure that most of them never really appreciated they were revivalists. And I think in the economy of heaven, God never saw them as a revivalist. He just saw them as ordinary. That's what I want. People like Wesley, they were giants in Lilliput. They were giants surrounded by pygmies. You're not created to be a pygmy. You need to get that pygmy spirit out of you. And you start to think of yourself as a giant. That God's going to bring you into a place of relationship where you see yourself, you see Him as big as He is, and you see yourself accordingly. And you need to start seeing yourself bigger than you are. And your humility is when you see yourself as big as you are, and you know that it's all of God. But you rise up and occupy that place. Because you have to be the best that you can be. Jesus deserves to be represented by an excellent people, by a marvelous people, by an outrageous people, by an astonishing people. Amen. You should not have an ordinary thought in your head about yourself. You should start to see yourself. That was Moses' deal with God. Exodus 7:1. See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. Because if you see it, you can become it. I want you to get beyond ordinary. At least you need to get into extraordinary. And then you need to get beyond that into the place that God really wants you to occupy. Because we have serious stuff to do in this world. And we need people who can access God at such a high level. Who can, that one person can put 1,000 to flight. We have some serious fighting to do. which is the fun part of our life. We have serious fighting to do. And we need to raise up serious... We don't need just soldiers, we need warriors. We need the equivalent of David's mighty men. I want to be stood fighting with guys who are really good at fighting. Who would you rather be with? 1,000 people who can't kill one, or one person who can kill 1,000? Who would you rather be stood next to? Who would you rather be? I want the guy who slew 800 with a spear. I want him on my team. I want the guy who's out for a walk and hears a lion roaring, and his sensible person would tiptoe in the opposite direction. This idiot went looking for the lion, and when he found it in the bottom of a pit, he jumped in. He's a flipping lunatic. But I want him on my team. Because every team needs a monster. Every team needs someone who breaks the rules in warfare. Every team needs someone who is unafraid. This guy had a vision about himself. It's just a cat. I can take it. What about the guy Shammah? Eh? He likes lentils, that boy. Probably from Arkansas or somewhere. He likes lentils. And everyone runs away when the enemy comes raiding. And he stands there. And the scripture says, he fought until his sword was stuck to his hand with blood. And you can hear guys saying, Shammah, it's just a patch of lentils. But he turns and he gives you that stare. I know. I dug this ground. I planted those lentils, watered them, I nurtured them, I weeded it. I'm eating them. Okay, dude, back off. They're my flipping lentils. Okay. I want him on my team. Don't like lentils myself, but I like him. He knows what he wants. I like that. You were created to be extraordinary. Don't you dare settle for ordinary, or we will hunt you down, and we will find where you live, and we will come and we will beat the snot out of you. Don't you dare settle for something ordinary when there is an extraordinary God who has a dream about you that's outrageous. You must, as a matter of utmost urgency, connect with the dream that God has got for you. Because your heart needs badly to be enlarged right now about who God is for you. You're not made to walk through this life with an average heart. You're supposed to have an expanded heart. You're supposed to have a heart that keeps growing, that keeps seeing more. You're supposed to have an imagination that keeps reaching out beyond the borders of your current normal thinking. But you have to get out there, outside the box of your own thinking. You know, the only time God put himself in a box, he said, you touch this thing and I'll kill you. Even when he puts himself in a box, you're not supposed to handle it. But it's not about getting outside the box. It's about getting so far beyond the box, you'll never find your way back. You have got to start thinking differently about yourself. You have to start seeing God differently in terms of who he is for you. Don't be ordinary. Start to rise up. Get your humility and then go for something astonishing. Your humility will help you. But there is a place of dreaming that God has set aside. The Pharisees were the dream thieves of their day. They stole people's dreams from them. We are about the church today, and the emerging church is a permission-giving church that connects people with their dreams. And what we are doing is we are creating atmospheres and environments where people are encouraged to dream and to see themselves in a way they've never seen themselves before. And good leaders are facilitators of people's dreams. But I'm thinking about vision. I'm not thinking about imposing something from the top down. I want to grow something from the ground up. I want to connect the vision of the church through your heart, because I want to understand what's God put in your heart, and whatever God has put in your heart, if we're in fellowship, I'm calling that the vision. Because I want to sow the vision and grow it through people's hearts. So what grows up is so strong because it's rooted in dreaming, it's rooted in relationship, it's rooted in who we essentially are and how we are perceived from heaven, and that vision is really going to go places and take off. When you impose a vision from the top down, you immediately put a ceiling on what is possible. You create a box. But when you grow it from the ground up through people's hearts, because you understand the dream, you are now full of endless possibilities. Anything could happen. And yeah, that whole dynamic takes the vision of church out of the control of the leadership, which is a good thing, because the best leadership is one that's out of control. That's not in control of what God is doing. But what we need to do is teach our people how to govern themselves, because self-control is the only form of control that's acceptable in church life. But you know, when you see yourself as God really sees you, you start to get rid of your own crap. You start to get rid of your own stuff. You start to hack those wires that keep you connected to your past. Why? Because you want to soar up into something. My biggest problem with counseling and pastoral ministry is that most of the time it does not connect people to their dreaming. It's not connected to their future. It's always connected to their past. And sometimes the best way to get someone free from their past is to show them who they should be. And then they're not dependent on you cutting things. They're starting to cut things themselves. I'm getting rid of this stuff because I want to be somebody. God's wonderfully present future, eh? One of my friends, Kim Clement, wrote a song that says, God sees you in the future and you look much better than you look right now. Oh, yeah. Who are you, really? Who are you, really? Who are you, really? Who are you, really? Lord, who am I? How do you see me? What's in your heart for me? What's beyond the place of my asking or thinking? I want to connect with that place so bad it hurts. I want to live from that place. I don't want to visit it. I want to live there. Because that's where I'm putting my stake in the ground, is in my future. And I'm bringing my future into the present. Because that's what prophecy does, beloved. It's like God, you know, here you are in 2006 and God is in 2011 and He's prophesying to you. And when God is prophesies to you from the future, He sees what He's looking at. So He's just recording here, this is what I see. And you're hearing it as an echo back in 2006, but He sees it. And the Holy Spirit puts a rope around that person and brings it into the present and ties it around your waist, and you get the job of reeling yourself in as you follow the prophetic. It opens up a pathway in front of you. And then you need to go into the future and start thinking about, you know, what kind of words have you got over your life right now? Well, you need to go into the future and bring them back into the present. You need to bring that person back into the present. How do you do that? Well, if you've got a call on your life to be a warrior, then what are the qualities and characteristics of a warrior? Well, you need to start developing those qualities and characteristics here. Because if you do that right now, you'll start to reel in that persona faster than you think. We are coming into a place and a time when the gap between prophecy spoken and prophecy fulfilled is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. until we come to a place where there will be, let there be words, and words spoken in the morning will be fulfilled in the afternoon. We're coming into that place because we have to redeem time. And we need some world changers to emerge in the church. And these are people who are connected to the dream that God has for them. And they've reeled in their future. I'm living today with my future in mind. I know who I'm supposed to be. I'm developing the persona and the characteristics of that. I've lived under restraint for the last 8 years. I was doing stuff prophetically 8 years ago that I'm not doing today. The Lord says, I'm cutting you off from power so you can learn wisdom. I need you to understand the way that I think. But I know I'm that far away from the power that I was operating in coming back. I love the wisdom that I have learned. I have seen things in God that I never thought I'd see. I understand His heart in a way that I never thought I'd understand it. The days of my restraint are coming to an end. I'm glad about that. But I have gone into a place in wisdom, in the mind of God. And I know that I understand how He thinks. Not all of it, but enough to make life interesting. Enough to see things. But I am reeling in to my present, the person that God says I am in the future. And when you connect with that place of dreaming, extraordinary things happen. You're not subject to any rules of logic or anything else, or reason. You come at life from a totally different place and a completely different level. Guys, I'm just the Balaam's ass that's here this morning encouraging you. There is a place to live from that is not earthbound. It's not in the first heaven. It's not in the second heaven. It's in the third heaven. And it's in the third heaven where God connects His dream to yours. What is His dream about you? If you've got prophetic words, look in there, because there are all kinds of magnificent clues. Sometimes, you know, we get a prophetic word and we write it out and we think, well, what has that got to do with today? And all we're doing is we're trying to access it with our logical thinking, I don't know where that fits into my life today. Well, it doesn't fit, you nerd. It doesn't fit. It's not supposed to fit into today. It's the word about who you're going to be. And it doesn't fit because you're not supposed to be this person. You're supposed to be that person. So it tells you who you're going to be. It tells you, gives you clues about what kind of anointings, what kind of mentality and personality you're supposed to have to see that word fulfilled. And you go into the future and you bring those qualities into today and start to work on them. And as you do that, your heart is enlarged, your thinking is expanded, and you start to see yourself in a completely different level. Some of you have got prophecies in a drawer, in a box somewhere in the back of your Bible, and you haven't read them for ages. You just put them on the back burner, which is a euphemism for, well, let's just forget all about that then, eh? You need to get those words out and start looking at them, because they're more true than you think right now. And they declare who you are, not just in the future, but they declare who you can be right now in the present. And I believe the Lord is saying, I say yes to the speed of your movement. So get moving. Don't worry about getting things wrong. Worry about not doing anything. It's easier to redirect a moving ship than one that's tied up to the pier. So at least get yourself out into the flow of that prophetic word and start to imagine and start to think and start to pray. Because these are the days of dreams coming true. And God's going to turn your captivity. And when you are logical and reasonable, you are earthbound and you've been captured by something that Jesus came to set you free from. I'm here to tell you that God wants to turn the captivity of your mind and your mindset into a place of dreaming. That you need to start talking to God from the place of dreaming. Start to wonder about what is it that God has got for me. And if you want to do signs and wonders, you have to start wondering about the signs that God has put in your life right now. The prophetic words He's spoken over you, they're signs pointing you in a direction. And if you want to do signs and wonders, you have to start wondering about who God is. You have to learn to live with a sense of wonder about who God is. You have to learn to live as a much loved child. You have to live in this paradox of being an adult and a mature man and woman on one end of the paradox, but being this childlike figure who lives in the delight and lives every day under the smile of God is the other end of the paradox, because your relationship with God is Abba Father. That your maturity comes out of that childlike state. God says it, I believe it, that jolly well settles it. Where He's Papa, but He's Lord, He's Father. And Father has a dream about you, and it's the child in you that needs to get it. Because kids think big. Kids have no barriers in their thinking. There is a childlikeness that you're supposed to have that is works hand in glove with the mature man and woman that God is developing. I love standing before God as a mature man. I love talking on that level. But I love the times too when I stand before Him and His immensity is so huge and I'm so small, and it's great to be childlike. And it's great on days just to approach Him as Papa, because this situation is too big for me. So I'm just going to access the heart of God in my childlike state and say, Lord, Papa, thank You. I know You're huge. I know You can do this thing. There are dreams to be had, and you're not too old and you're not too young to dream well. But I'm telling you, if you do not access the place of dreaming, you may well possibly die a disappointed person. You will not fulfill the bigness that God has got for you. I am so grateful to God that I have gone through 10 years of hell. I am so astonishingly happy about it. Because to have what I have right now, oh my gosh, and the price I paid, yeah, I would have gone through something 3 times worse to have what I have right now. I have prospered because it was in the heart of God to see me prosper. I've served my Laban and I prospered. I didn't survive my Laban. I prospered out of it. Because that's the heart of God. And in your current circumstances right now, there is an anointing to survive and get through it. And there is an anointing to prosper in it. That you become through it the man and woman that God has wants you to be. What's your circumstances right now? There is prosperity in your life right now, but you need to go to a place beyond thinking. What would it be like for you to prosper in your current circumstances? What if your current circumstances are really the making of you and not just the breaking of you? What is it God wants to be for you now that He couldn't be for you at any other time? What's the dream in God's heart about your current circumstances? What if He has a plan to prosper you? What if He has a plan to expand everything that you come out of this thing bigger and stronger and better than you ever imagined you could be? Would you be interested in that? What if, like Israel in Egypt, your dreaming is just to survive the day, but in the same moment that you're having that dream, God is having a dream about the house he wants to give you in a land that you don't know how to get to. Oh, yeah. See, that's what we are connecting with in these days. Because it's that will make you extraordinary. It's that will make you brilliant. It's that will make you outrageous. It's that will make you excellent. It's that will bring glory into the body of Christ, that she rises to a place where Jesus looks at her and thinks, shoot, let's get married now. Let's get married now. Let's bring forward the date. I'm marrying that girl. Oh, yeah. Place of dreaming. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, would you just break in this place the whole power of logic and reason? Would you just break it in our hearts? If that's you, if you know you're logical, analytical to a fault, why don't you just stand and we'll just break something off you right now? Yeah? Father, in Jesus' name, you need to surrender it though, eh? Give it to God. Father, I just break in the name of Jesus all logical, reasonable thinking that keeps us earthbound. And I ask you to take us beyond the place of reason. I ask you to break that analytical spirit in the name of Jesus. I ask you to break that evangelical mindset in the name of Jesus that's earthed in logic and reason, which is a place that you don't live in. So I ask you to break that mindset in the name of Jesus, because it is the natural mind that keeps us tied in the first heaven. And I ask you right now, Lord, to release us, to renew us in the spirit of our mind, so that our mind can go beyond logic, beyond reason, to a place of creative thinking, and then beyond that into a place of dreaming, where we really start to understand your truest, truest thoughts about who we really are. Take us to that place. And I ask you, Lord, that would you release in our hearts right now an ability to dream. Because you said in the last days there'll be dreamers. There'll be people who are full of vision and full of dreams. That you would inhabit, Lord, our dreams and our vision about ourselves. That our vision about ourselves will be the same as yours. That our dreaming will be connected to your heart. That you would expand our thinking, enlarge our heart. And I pray, Lord, especially right now, that you would connect us from the present with our truest future. That you begin to enlarge and expand our thinking so that we can begin to agree with you in thought. That we can begin to love you with our mind. That we can begin to address you from a different place of thinking. And Lord, would you right now, in our current circumstances, would you break that poverty spirit in our thinking, so that we are not just survivors, Lord, but where we actually prosper where we are right now. And I ask you to release dreams. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you release dreams? Cause us to dream. Would you meet with us in the night watches? Would you give us dreams? Would you, Lord, rehabilitate the prophetic words that have been spoken over us? Would you breathe fresh breath upon them? Would you cause us to understand the signs and the clues that are there about our truest identity as you see it? And would you enable us, Lord, to go into the future and bring that word back into the present and start to act in line with who that person is? That our thinking changes now in relation to our future. That our dreams about ourselves can cause our hearts to expand and grow. Because, Lord, we want to see an excellent, outrageous, incredible, astonishing church be raised up in these days. Because Jesus deserves it. He deserves that kind of excellence. And Lord, we can do great things in this country when we live from the place of dreaming. And not just from the place of what may be possible. So I ask you to brood over us, over our lives. I ask you to connect with us individually. I ask, Lord, that you'll put a piece of grit into our heart, that, Lord, that will irritate us, that will annoy us, that will cause something, a pearl of great price, Lord, to form in our heart, that we start to see the value that I am in the kingdom of heaven to you. Would you do that, Lord? Would you be an irritant to us so that we cannot forget this, that we have to move to a place of dreaming so that we can rise up and occupy a place in the Spirit that currently right now is light years beyond us. But in your heart, it's so close, we could taste it if we access it from that place of dreaming. So would you do that, Father, for Jesus' sake, for His sake, so that He can look back on the travail of a soul and say, that's what I wanted to see happen. That's the joy that's set before me. You living from a place of dreaming. So in His name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for
Amen.
Listening.
Amen. Thank you. Great message. Appreciate Graham. Lord willing, we'll be seeing more of this guy. One of the things we like to do, Paul the Apostle once said to the Galatians, I know that your flesh was a trial to me. My flesh was a trial to you, but you received me as if I were an angel from God. And he commended them. They could receive him as if, he were an angel. And Jesus himself said, we would not see him until we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And one of the things we like to do is give all of our folks an opportunity to sow into ministries like this that we believe God is using in a tremendous way, and to show them hospitality and to help them on their way. And we've already got folks for the next movie meeting coming in. And